Blog Talk Radio.
Okay. Jason.
Well, amen. Amen. Well,
amen.
Greetings, everyone. Again, another evening on Christian Talk Radio. We want to welcome everybody as we are coming close to the end of another wonderful day that God has given us. And when I say wonderful day, it doesn't mean that everything in our day went right. But what it means is that through all that went through today, we had God with us. And what a wonderful day it is to have him hold in. And amen. And so we're just thankful again for this opportunity to this week to come on the radio for a short period of time to share in his word and to glorify his name. So I begin and open, as always, to say grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ for all those that are listening to us today. I want to open the scripture here. I want to open with Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 18, verses 1 through 3. And it says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. This is a very powerful, as in all the Psalms is, this is also a very powerful a scripture in Psalm. And it's wonderful, you know, David wrote this Psalm. And it's wonderful how when he starts to speak to God, before he asks anything or files any petition to the Lord, he first says to God, I love you. I love you. He professes with his heart and his affection for God. He lifts up his name that's higher than every name. He says, I love you, O Lord, my strength. And then he begins to talk about God, how what God is in his life. Before he asks for anything, he acknowledges God. And, you know, during this time that this psalm was written, you know, David was very known for singing a psalm, or lifting a psalm of the Lord whenever God delivered him from the attacks of his enemies. This psalm particularly was recorded sometime after God had yet again delivered him from, you know, some rebellion of his son Absalom. And so once again, he saw God move in his life that spared him, and he wanted to thank God and lift him up. And one thing you observe about David's life when you read about his life in the scriptures, and then you see the things he says in the Psalms, because, you know, he accounts for about 60% of the Psalms that's in that book. And you see the great affection, everything he went through. It is very clear that David learns to depend on God for everything. Everything. Everything he was, everything he did, he set that foundation on God. That's what his life is built on. So even when he fell into sin and, you know, with Bathsheba and then killed Uriah, her husband, and didn't, so just made certain mistakes in his life, because his affections were for the Lord, because he believed in God, because his life was built on God, that even though he fell, he was on firm ground, and that firm ground was the Lord, and God continued to lift him up and continued to work mightily in his life. And so that's what we're going to talk about today. As David has set the foundation for how we are to build our life on Christ. And so what I'm going to talk about today is, why should we build our life on Christ? Why should we build our life on Christ? Because a lot of times we hear that, you know, especially if you If you're doing what God has called you to do, in the sense that we all were saved, we're all called to preach the gospel. Okay, we're all
Amen.
Called to spread the gospel and discipleship. That is a calling that every believer is given once saved. You know, and so sometimes people have a hard time grasping that. You know, I actually participated in my church in the men's group, and we've got, you know, some more seasoned men of God in the group, and we got some babes in Christ that just kind of joined us. And one of the things that we do is we share the lesson. You know, so every month, we meet once a month, and everybody comes, and they bring a lesson what God gave them and share it with the group, and we fellowship with that. And we have one young guy that's just learned about God and whatnot, and, you know, and we set the expectation of him that, you know, he needs to get the word. And he said, well, you know, I really don't, you know, I don't want to teach, and, you know, I really don't, you know, and, you know, I love God, but I really don't necessarily want to, you know, I shouldn't, you guys teach. And, you know, I had to remind him. I said, well, my friend, I said, you are also a preacher of the gospel. I said, but in order to teach other people where you have to first get a word. And so through fellowshipping with God, that's how we learn who God is, and that's how we're able to set our foundation here. But I've come convinced, and this is what I know, that it's impossible to set your foundation and believe in someone you know nothing of. So you must know who he is so you can know what you're setting your foundation up. So I'm going to talk a little bit today about why we should build our life and our foundation on Christ. So, number one, okay, why should we build our life on Christ? Because Christ is the foundation to all creation. Let me say that one more time. Christ is the foundation to all creation, okay? You know, Christ, not only is he the foundation to all life, but all was created through him. In the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, says, in the beginning was the Word. We're talking about Christ now. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So God, Christ was with God, and he is God, and he was before all creation, and through him all things was created. He is the foundation from everything. See, people don't understand a lot of times is that when God created the earth in Genesis, the Bible says there was darkness and the earth was void. See, God is not darkness, he's light. But he spoke and then there was light. You see what I'm saying? When he comes into a situation, he brings light. And things are very clear. And so, Christ is the foundation to everything. Because all things was created through him. He is the first and the last. He is the beginning and the end. He is eternal. He's forever and ever and ever. So what wonderful news to know that who we are setting our foundation in was before and will be after all things. And that's just wonderful news. So again, Christ is the foundation to all creation. Number two, Christ is the foundation in what we believe and stand by. So if you can accept that Christ is the foundation to all life and created all things are created through him, then the next step is accepting the fact that Christ is the foundation of what we believe and stand by. In other words, we don't stand on other doctrines. We don't believe in universalism. We don't believe in all these other faiths. We don't believe when people get on TV and say, oh, well, you know, there's many ways of God and all religions are just different forms. They all search for the same God. No. No, we don't. My Bible I read refers to those as doctrines of beings. What we as believers believe, we believe Christ crucified and risen. That is what we believe, and that is what we stand on. He is the only way. He is the, excuse me. He is the only way. He is the truth and the life. He is the way to salvation. And as the Bible clearly tells us, there's no other name under the heaven by which men are saved. And so he is the foundation in what we believe and stand by. And as we grow in God, everything we say and do should be built on him. Let me say that one more time. Everything we say and do should be built on him. So as you start to grow in God, you should start to depart from worldly wisdom and your own, and not just external things that influence you, but your own influence over yourself. You should start departing from those things and start to embrace what the Word says and what Christ says. Because when we say that we are Christians, we're not only accepting the fact that he is the creation of all things, and through him all things occur, but we're also saying that he is what we believe and stand by. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22 says, "Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with saint members of the household of God, having built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being made the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, and in whom you also built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." Of God in the Spirit. Amen. So we are the temple of God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so just like, in ancient times, just so you can understand what a cornerstone is in reference to a building, and is in ancient times, a cornerstone was a principal stone that was placed in the corner of an edifice, or what's referred to as a large building. It was placed in the corner. And that cornerstone was usually the largest, the most solid, and the most carefully constructed in the foundation of that building. And Jesus, the Word describes Jesus as the cornerstone in which his church is built on, and the unified body of believers, both Jews and Gentiles. And see, what Apostle Paul is beginning to say here is that the foundation of the church was built on the apostle, but he is the chief cornerstone because all has been built on him. He is the most important fixture of that building, and without him being the chief cornerstone, there will be no building. There's a church that as that progressed through the acts of the apostles and how the Christian church expanded throughout the world would have never been able to stand unless he was the chief cornerstone, unless they built their beliefs and what they said on him. And what a wonderful feeling to know that we can build our life on what he says and what he does, and it becomes what we say and what we do and aligns with him. Amen. Amen. Number three, Christ is the foundation to all wisdom and understanding. He is the foundation to all wisdom and understand. You know, today's society is full of, as you know, especially with social media, Facebook, Twitter, you know, we got all the social media, we got the media itself on TV and the news, we got folks with books, you know, all these different things, self-help books, life class, five ways of victorious living. We got everyone has got varying opinions about how to have a successful life. Now, some of these things are good things, and some things are not so good things. But a lot of times, it's really hard to decipher between all of it, especially because there's such a desire in men to be right, there's such a desire in men to be wise and to have a follower. And so sometimes, you know, we got all this stuff out there. You got a lot of folks following all these different things, but they're missing it. And so as believers, we value the Word. Okay, sometimes we end up, we value the Word. We don't value other people's opinions and books over the Word. You know, and sometimes what happens is when you get some of these different meetings and forums, if what they're saying and what they're talking about in their books or what is a YouTube clip or whatever the case may be is not rooted in the Word, then they have no foundation at all. And we should flee from those type of things because we could be led astray from those type of things. But when we read our Word, that's why it's important to read our Word. So when we are reading other books, we're watching TV, or we because I've read some very powerful books that have been Bible-based, and I've read some books that claim to be Bible books, but when you start to read and what they're saying, you start to see inconsistency in the Bible. But if you're not reading your Word, in other words, fellowshipping with God and receiving the Word, you will have no ability to discern what is wisdom or not. Because, again, the only true wisdom and understanding comes from God, comes from Christ. And Christ is the foundation to all wisdom and all understanding. And what you learn is unless the things in the world has to offer is founded on the power and the blood sacrifice in Christ, it is foolishness. Let me say that one more time. Unless what the world and things that we read and see in the world is founded on the power and blood sacrifice of Christ, it is foolishness. Now, I know somebody else saying, well, wait, what you trying to say? What you trying to say? Sometimes, you know, we have to appear things to say. Which I, how can you say that? Well, as I always say, I live by the Word. So let's go in the Word and see what God has to say concerning wisdom. If we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, it says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. And again, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, or in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 25, the word says again, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. You see, the Bible says that all good things come from the Father of heaven and life in which there is no change. See, God doesn't change. He is originator of creation. He is originator of all wisdom, and all good things come from him. And so what I'm really saying, what's important is we have to be in a relationship. We need to be in our Word daily. We need to be praying daily so we can seek his wisdom. The Bible tells us if we need wisdom, we should ask for wisdom, and God, who is rich in mercy and grace, will give it to us liberally. He will give it to us, but he will give it to us. And what happens is when he starts to fill us with his wisdom and his understanding and his love and his grace, you can begin to tell the difference between what he gives us and the counterfeit that the devil puts in the world. And then we're not led astray. Amen. Amen. And I know that sometimes people know may not want to hear that. I said, but, you know, as I tell a lot of people, I don't preach for hand claps, and I preach the gospel as it is. And so this is what we need to know because of the fact that my desire is for you to know God and know what the Word truly says so you can seek it for yourself. It's right here in the Word. So, again, going back, we need to remember that Christ is the foundation to all wisdom and understanding. So we talk about three key areas, and there's more things we can talk about, but these are three key areas on why we should build our lives on Christ. He is the foundation of all creation. He is the foundation of what we believe and stand by, and he is the foundation to all wisdom and understanding. Amen. So what happens when we don't build our life on Christ? Let's talk about that a little bit. Let's say we got, you know, I've been there before salvation. I had no life in Christ. Everything I thought and did was in the world. Okay? What happens when we spurn Christ and we decide to embrace everything that's going on in the world? Or worse, we try to mix in what's going on, what people say in the world and try to make it scripture. I have people do it all the time. Well, you know, it's this, it's that. No, we can't take things of the world and try to sanctify it with the scriptures. No, it's either in the Word or it's not there. So what happens when we go down that path and we start to embrace thoughts in our life? Well, number one, First, one of the primary things that happens when we don't build our life on Christ, we deceive ourselves and can be lost to darkness. Let's say that one more time. We deceive ourselves and can be lost to darkness. In order to build our life on Christ, we must not stop short of hearing his word, but we must do what it says. I'm just repeating myself a couple times. So I'm going to say that one more time. In order to build our life on Christ, we must not stop short of hearing his word, but we must do what it says. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25 says, "But be doers of the word, not only hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberality and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." Amen. So we're not talking about perfection. What we're talking about is design and carrying it out, not just sitting in the pulpit on Sunday and being just a hearer of the word, but we become doers of the word. But in order to become a doer of the word, you have to say, you have to read the word to see what it says do. Amen. You have to read the word to see what it says do. We got a lot of folks out there right now, they hear, but the reason, some of the reasons not that they're not doing because they don't want to. They're not doing because they don't have the instruction manual for life to read it. They haven't read it. Because if you haven't figured out by now, the Bible is everything we need to be successful and victorious in this life. Everything's in there. Everything is in there. But if we would seek God and spend time with him, he would instruct us and feed us. You know, and it's not, again, when you get in a relationship with Christ, it's not just about a bunch of do's and don'ts. It's about a relationship. And a lot of the things that we have to overcome, a lot of things that God asks us to turn away from, those things don't come in a legalistic fashion. They come in a love relationship with him. Amen. It comes in a love relationship with him. And it's not just the do's and don'ts, but when you begin to get filled with the word and you start to see who he is in your life and you start to embrace him, you start to love who he is, it's out of love we put aside the word. And then as each day goes by, we deny ourselves even more than we did the day before. And we deny ourselves even more than we did before. And we pick up our cross and we follow him. That comes in a love relationship with him. And that is how we're able to not only be hearers of the word, but we become doers of the word. You know, another thing that happens when we don't build our life on Christ is we won't be able to stand under life's tribulations. Now, Jesus told his disciples that in this life we will have tribulation. Okay? That's what he said. He also said, "Be of good cheer, for I have overcome." That's what he's also said. So we can put our faith in Christ. But we need to remember, if we do not put our foundation, if our foundation, our life is not built on Christ, we're not going to be able to stand when things start going wrong. And you see a lot of that happening today, where a lot of people are lost. There's a lot of people that suicide going on. There's a lot of people that's just, and not committing suicide, but they're just kind of going their own way and turn into despair and all these different things. It's because of the fact that they don't have Christ in life. Their life is not built on Christ. And you have believers, as we speak right now, that are finding themselves not being victorious and scratching their heads and wondering, "Lord, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong?" But it's because we have a lot of people that's not seeking God. We have a lot of people that's not sitting down here in special. We say that we Christians only by name, but we don't even want to spend no time with the person we claim to be like. We don't want to spend no time with him. We only want to come to him when there's a crisis or there's a problem. And see, when you get in a relationship with God, what he starts doing is dealing with those things in our life that is causing the crisis, that's causing all the problems. So that way we can have wisdom and more success in our life. And so, again,
amen.
One of the things that when we don't build our life in Christ, we won't be able to stand under life's tribulation. And Matthew, Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 24 3:27. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24-27. It says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew, and beat on that house, and it fell. And great was its fall. I think the thing that troubles me most about the end of that scripture is Jesus didn't say, lightly the house fell. He didn't say that it was a little bit of a problem with the house. He said, and great was his fall. And that's the risk we take when we don't build our life on the foundation, on Christ. When we don't build our life on the cornerstone. He's the chief cornerstone to everything we do. He's the chief cornerstone to his church, which God works through in this world. And so when we don't build on that, then we're going to have problems, and there's going to be definitely struggles in our life. So in closing, you know, when we talk about the open scripture, David is a perfect example of a life that, again, not perfect, but he loved God. He loved God. And David understood who God was in his life. While he was not perfect, he was a man after God's own heart. That's what the Bible says. He was a man after God's own heart. He built the foundation for his belief and faith in God, not on himself and other folks who claimed to offer wisdom aside of what he knew of God. You know, because he had advisors. He had people around him that could try to advise him and tell him different things. But he built what he knew and he believed on God. And because David knew who God was, he prayed and he worshiped him. And when the winds of trial blew in his life and the waves of tribulation rocked his life, he was not overtaken or blown away. Why? Because he built his life on God. Christ is the beginning and end of all things. He is the hope in which we stand, the foundation in which we build our faith. You know, Revelation.
Amen.
Amen. Revelation, which says in chapter 1, verse 8, very powerful, very encouraging for us as believers to know that we serve an almighty God. It says in Revelation 1 and 8, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning,
Amen,
and the end, says the Lord.
Amen.
Who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Well, I tell you, my brother, you've done it again. Hello?
Yes, sir.
You knocked it out of the park again. You knocked it completely out the park, and I'm still trying to find it. It's still sailing. The Word of God. And I want to thank God for you teaching, the way you're teaching with such an understanding. And I like the way you come back and bring it back to the people to one more time. I said, that's good teaching. That is good teaching. The Lord will keep you and the Lord will bless you what you're doing, because there are many who will come behind you and hear what you're saying. But also I want to tell people later on how they can go and how they can listen to your program, the station, correction, listen to what you taught about. They can download it and they can listen to it. It'll be available hearing it, okay? Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I want to thank God for you today, and we got Brother Newsom. Are you in? Dr. Newsom. Well, I guess he hasn't called in yet, but Jason, one of the things I want you to know is, man, I thank God for you. I thank God for you, man. It caused my heart to rejoice because you loved the Word of God at such an early age. You loved the Lord with such an early age at the Word of God. And I pray for you constantly that God will give you strength, give you understanding, give you viscosity, give you whatever you need to make your journey successful. My prayer to God is, God bless you, God keep you, and God walk with you step by step. Amen?
Amen. And I thank you, Dr. Hunter. I mean, I love you as well for being obedient and just blessing us to have a place where we can get on and fellowship and teach the word. It is a joy for me to serve God. And I guess, I didn't get saved until I was 33 years old. And so as I tell
Amen.
Most people, I feel like I wasted a lot of time, and I would not waste another minute. And so it seems like a sense of urgency sometimes to make sure that we're doing what God has asked us to do. So I thank you, and I love you, and thank you again for giving me the opportunity
Amen.
To come on and the Holy
Amen.
Spirit lead. Amen.
Amen. God bless you. Well, you know, one thing I'll say about this young man is I thank God because I like to take notice of what is being said at my graduation. One day they said, somebody said, where's the class of 19 so-and-so and so? They said, when last seen, they were headed to the mountaintop. And I want to say this to all of us on the radio station and those who are listening. When last seen, they were headed to the mountaintop of holiness. It wasn't being down into the dung heap. They were headed to the place called there. They were headed for truth. They kept their eyes on truth. They looked to God, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who thought it not to be robbery, but that will be equal with him through Jesus Christ. Because God has given us a rightful place. It behooves us who love God, to obey God, to honor God. God is not going to let us. See, someday in my life, I said, Lord, please forgive me. I might have said the wrong thing when I was talking. I might have done the wrong thing. Will you forgive me? God is a forgiving God. Because when we come through Jesus, Jesus prepares us so that the Father can accept us. I want us to know there are a lot of arrows that are being shot in America. But we got to pray like we have never prayed before. I'm not looking for denomination. I'm not looking for denominational. I'm looking for sons of God. Sons of God. And that's what we want. We want sons of God. Therefore, when God has spoken to us in time past, now he speaks more excellent by his son. The son of God. We are just a small S-O-N. But when we do what God say, do you know that honorifies, that edifies God, that gives God credible, that he didn't, there was no, see, the devil has a lie that he tells before the Father about you and I. Well, ain't nothing but a liar. Well, he's a snaggletooth liar. And I say snaggletooth because he don't have any teeth. All he can do is roar. He can't fight. He ain't got no claws. He can just scratch on you. He can't put his teeth on you because all he can do is this, y'all, what I say to you who alive and who listen, because Jesus is on his way back. He's on his way back. And I want to pass the medal on. I want to pass the special delivery. He's on his way back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody knows that Jesus is who he said he is. I will say to this that are coming on this radio station is a gift of God. And the more I sit and see, well, you know what? This is God doing. It ain't my doing. I'm just an instrument. But God is doing what he wants done in this radio station. Amen. And I will just say I love you. I thank God for you. And may God keep you. I have a person who listens, 5240, are you there? Amen. 5240, are you there? Amen. Well, I'm on there by myself. Everybody want to drop. Well, that's good.
D63H03, Healing Scriptures.
Hello, well, is that you, my brother?
Hello,
how you doing?
Hi, how are you? I heard you ask me if I was there, but somehow my phone got disconnected.
Okay. Well, hold on. Let me cut this off. Hold on.
For they are lies unto those that find them and hell to all their flesh.
Hold on.
In the Mark of my King James translation, they reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So
sometimes you deal with this computer, you got a whole lot to do with
it.
Amen. I just said, here we go.
And give you God's medicine. First of all, from...
Okay, now can we talk?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, one of the things I do know is that we got a lot, you know, God has a lot for us to do, and it's up to the believers. And if the believers don't believe it, what are they going to believe? What are they going to believe? What are they going to believe? We got to stay firm in God's word. Amen?
Amen.
You have a word you want to say to the people?
Yes, I was listening to the young gentleman talk about wisdom. That's when I first came on. And I'm odd about it because that's what I've been studying, you know. It's wisdom.
Yeah.
And one of the definitions is wisdom. Proverbs, you know, the book of Proverbs is the book on wisdom. And it gives you a definition of wisdom. And one of the definitions of wisdom is to fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. To fear the Lord. But that does not mean we are supposed to shake and tremble in our boots. What it means is that we are supposed to reference him, honor him, worship him, and submit to his will. And when we do that, then the Lord will give us common sense. He will give us a good understanding. He will give us the wisdom to know, to discern from, you know, what's good and what's right. And wisdom keeps us from falling into a pit hole. It's God, you know, a lot of people think that God has, like he said, he was saying something about rules and regulations. A lot of people think that God gives us rules and regulations and he doesn't want us to have fun. But no, he gives us these advices and he gives us his commandments to keep us from falling into pit holes, our problems that will cause us to live a dead life, will cause us to live a life of trouble. And God wants us to live a long and happy life. And he wants us to live a life that's safe. He doesn't want us to fall into the pitfalls that the devil and the traps that the devil have set up for us. And one thing I was learning when I was reading in Proverbs about wisdom, I'm learning that it's talking about the wise man versus the foolish man. The wise man is not going to depend on his wisdom alone and his ways and his thoughts. He's going to depend on God's wisdom and what God has to say and what God has to do. A foolish man, you can't teach him anything. He's going to depend on his wisdom alone. And if you ever notice, the old folks will say, you know, they'll try to tell young folks back in our days, they try to tell us, don't go this way, don't do this, don't do that, you know. And when we didn't listen and we didn't heed, we fell into trouble. We fell into obstacles. But see, that's what God's word is there for his people, is to keep us from falling into those troubles. Sure, we're going to have troubles in life, but there's a lot of troubles that we could avoid if we will listen and heed God's instruction. And I really did enjoy what he was saying on that, on wisdom.
Amen. That's my nephew, so I just let the world know, that's my sister-in-law, great-grandson. And he started out, I mean, if you hear his testimony of what God did for him, and the same was with me in Germany, but he said when he met him in Germany, he says he was cold. And in Germany, and Wolfflagen is cold there. He said, but God kept him warm so he could talk to him. He said, that's when he discovered who God really was.
Yeah.
And, you know, his mother went on to be with the Lord. His mother was a young lady, 20-some years old, 26 years old, and she was in medical school. We loved her. We thank God for her. And God had a great gift for her. But when she told me, and I say this publicly, when she told me, she says, Uncle Willie, I said, what, girl? She said, I have a cure for cancer. And I said, don't tell nobody else. And a month or so later, she started getting sick, and I told them, I said, and like I told people, I said, well, they said, well, the doctors, I said, well, if they're going to kill me, they're going to kill me. Ain't nothing we can do about it. But God allowed it for a reason to happen, so we can expose the enemy. We have to expose him. Some people say, well, I won't be on the radio talking about that. Well, you got to let the devil know he's a liar. He's a liar. Oh, I'm not going to attack him. Well, don't attack him, but just don't get in my way. Don't get in my way, I won't get in your way. Because I know that after we heard today, speaking with some brothers and sisters, this man in California did what he did. That was against the rule of God. God don't hate people. God loves people. You were saying about this young man today, he talks about wisdom. I love to hear him talk all the time. He's coming to Houston real soon. When he comes, I'll let you know so you can meet him. And, you know, he has a wife, I think, 20. He got 4 children already. I said, boss, your quiver is full. You need to slow up, son. Amen. But, you know, the one thing I would say, amen, the one thing I would say to those who come on the radio, I know that right now we're at a standpoint where that it appears that nothing is happening. It could be true, but there's something going on. See, I'm a country boy. Mama always told me, she said, go get the bread together, put it all together, and put the yeast in there. But you want to put the yeast and put it into the oven. It ain't got to be hot. But if while you're not knowing it, it shall rise. As long as we have the word of God in us, we shall rise. We shall rise. And that's what the word of God is for us. It's not to make us popular, but it's to help us to be more what God would want us to be. It's all about God's creation. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I know you got a lot of wisdom in you. I know you got a lot of wisdom that you want to say, and I thank God for you taking the time out to come on the radio station and say what you're saying. Because sometimes you can say things, and I just sit and listen. I sit back and I pound and I get the book and I say, that's right. Sometimes you can take words that have been spoken to you that can increase your understanding what God wants to do. And right now, I go back to our statement. That man, see, the devil was made a liar. The man said it, and they heard him. They got it on tape. See, God has invented these tapes and smartphones and all of this. That's why I tell everybody, watch what you say. Somebody listening. Be careful what you say. Somebody listening. But if it's not the truth, don't say it. And the man said what he said. Here he is. Yeah, he got money. He can live. But the man, he said what he said about people. God is not a God of discrimination. And I was telling somebody today, 2 or 3 days, I said, you know, is it possible in Israel? And I got an email from a friend of mine. He said, Hunter, this is happening in Israel. I said, what? They're committing abortion in Israel. I said, oh, no, man. He said, yeah, here the proof is. And he sent me the proof. Do you know that they're doing abortions over there? If a woman has a baby and decides she don't want it, they abort that baby. Is that slaughter? Is that murder? Yes. Does that make you some more better than us? No. Does that make we as Christians more better? No. All must repent. All must repent. And when you see how things are slowly collapsing, look over there in Russia and right now where there's a lot of anger going on, and the enemy is doing everything he can to start another war. Everything he can. But I'm here to tell you, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he's not going to allow it to happen. They're not going to cut us down. They're not going to put us away. We're going to stand firm in what we do. Husbands need to come home and be the husbands of their wives. Wives need to be the husbands, the wives of their husbands. The family need to be one family. Some men got more children strung out. Some women got... There's so much you can just say. But sin is the key factor. And to eliminate it, we have to repent and live a conscience before God. Because I know that many times I have to, something I say, well, Lord, that thought wasn't of me. The enemy comes along, and while you're trying to meditate or think about something, he comes along, he wants to drop something on you. Didn't you see that? See what? I didn't see nothing. Yes, you did. And see, no sense in lying, you know you were looking. Guilty as charged. But I say this, the message that God has for us today, there were many people have started out this morning looking unto Jesus with the author and the finish of our faith. But I want to tell you something. To my beloved, get it right with God. To those who want to know God, sit down and listen. A lot of these young preachers that are going out, you're going out too fast. And the devil's eating your lunch. He's eating your neck. See, the reason why he says eating your neck, because when the first thing a lion do to take his victim is he chokes him. He chokes him. And that's what the devil comes in when he attacks the Christian who say, well, I'm going to write. No. They had us when back in the day to sit down and learn something. And that's how you get some wisdom, get some knowledge, and get some understanding of what God called us for, the saints of God. A man just get up out of the bed and say, well, Jesus, how long did it take Jesus before he got to where he had to? It took him 30 complete years before he could even start doing what he was supposed to do. He had to go through first the 12, the first, the birth. Then 8 days later, he had to be circumcised. The covenant had to be kept in him. He was a true Jew. He was, and then at the 12th year, he was his bar mitzvah. And then for 18 years, they say in the book of scriptures, I studied when I was going to the school. They didn't even know who he was, why he couldn't find him. But they said they had a river that runs underneath in Israel. 18 miles, and nobody can't find the beginning or the end of it, even with all the information we have today. But I said I would say this. God is not a hard God. God is a just God. He is a forgiving God. He's a loving God. But I tell somebody, don't you ever decide that you want to get hot with God. Because it's not going to happen. You can get as hot as you want to get with God. And you know what? Well, he didn't do it the way I wanted. Well, no, God never does the way we want to do it. God does it the way he knows it to be right. And then all of a sudden, something comes and says, ooh, that happened, how did that come? Because you will listen to what God said. And I'm saying this because I know that God is able to do anything above and beyond. Because he wants us, and to those who are listening to us, and I get up every day, I look at the mail stack that I have, and some of it I won't even answer. emails that come out. So some people say, why? Because some people, all they want to do is just play. We heard a man on the radio some other last week. He knows that he doesn't care anything about the philosophy or the culture of Christianity. But he tried to get some people all upset about he wanted. They said in their country, they take babies, they go ahead and put gasoline on them and scorch them and do this. And I said, that was the country that do that. But we don't do that. We don't do that in America. And one person said, well, I need to talk. No, don't even answer that. Ignorance begets ignorance. If you know a person that's ignorant, leave them where they are. Amen, somebody. If you know a wolf is a wolf, he's a wolf. If he's a fish, he's a fish. You do it. I say to many who are listening, I'm not preaching, I'm just talking to you. Just talking. I ain't got the word of God before me. I'm going on what I know. What I know God can do. God broadcasts live every day. He broadcasts live. He broadcasts his son. Hallelujah. He broadcasts his water. Here in America, we've had 4 tornadoes already. 75,000 people are in the direction of. And Houston, we don't know what's going to happen because we've got some who are still praying. But it's always possible. It's always possible. It's always possible that we can escape from what the devil is doing to us. And all of a sudden, here we are. And I said, okay, here it is on a Tuesday night. And the devil decides he wants to come in and try to attack. So the best I can say and tell you, when you know that the devil wants to attack you, you got to pray. You got to pray earnestly. Don't pray against a person. Pray for a person. Let that person first be you. Pray for you first. Pray that your sins, your heart, that the manifestation of God's presence be in your life. I can say that I know with assurance, God has called me to preach the gospel. It may not be what some people want to hear, but the truth is the truth. I can say this assuredly, that I know that I'm full of the Holy Ghost. How I know? Because God put his hands on me during that day. In the early 1959, I asked God, and I felt the anointing speaking in a language I never heard of. And I had nobody to tell me at that age. But the more I grew and understand, the more God gave me wisdom. I see things. Even right now, I see things. And sometimes I just sit and ask, well, okay, Lord, you tell me what it is. See, God wants to use us today. Not tomorrow, today. Are you ready for God to use you today? Are you ready to surrender to God's hand now? Even though you've done wrong, but God wants to forgive you. Now, what judging are you going to judge that with judge? I'm guilty. See, you go before the eternal God in the name of Jesus. Jesus said, Father, they've come to me, and I've forgiven them of their sin, and our sins have been set aside. But the world, as we see it, they don't see it that way. He's guilty. He's guilty. He's guilty. That's what they said about Jesus. He was guilty. Guilty of what? He didn't do nothing wrong with nobody. But God has sent his only Savior. And we're here as byproducts of what God wants done. I offer to somebody right now that don't know Jesus Christ to come to him by the submission of yourself to him, by the elevation of your hands. You say, Father, forgive me of all of my sins. I confess that I was a sinner, but I come to Jesus Christ, and he will set me free. And Jesus, it's you who can take me and make me better than what I was. I was a liar. I was a thief. I was a murderer. I did everything wrong. Would you forgive me? Can you use me in your kingdom? And I can guarantee you by your confession, out of your heart, if you confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord, and you believe that God raised him from the dead, God has a place for you in his kingdom. And that place is called there. There he meets you, there he supplies you, there he brings you in courtship of the Holy Spirit. When you come in courtship with the Holy Spirit, you understand what the Holy Spirit is about. The Holy Spirit is nothing but a teacher, a leader. He ain't going to usher us in this direction. He's going to point the direction. You ought to go that way. But it's up to you. And to the woman of God, to the husband and wives out there that are having issues, I'm here to tell you I love you. I love you. I want you to know that God is capable of making it possible. God is there. And if you receive him, do give me a call at this number here, 347-850-8955. I'd like to hear your input. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. I want you to know that God has a place for you. It's up to you. So that one night we had a meeting on Friday night. We called it after meeting at the well. We had so many on the line wanting to hear what God was saying through all of us. And I'm here to tell you, God has the same on the line right now. There are a lot of people that are listening. Some people will not even say, Father, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help I know. If you withdraw yourself from me, where shall I go? I can tell you, go straight to Jesus Christ. Jesus has opened arms right now for the president, for the senators, for the governors, for the mayor, for everybody, even that man that done wrong today, God has room for him. God can also fix it. That man go say, Father, I've sinned bad. God can fix it when he come back in and on something. Somebody said, that's crazy talk. That's God talk. That's God talk. Look at the man who was getting ready to die. And the God told the prophet, go back and tell him, I'm going to extend 15 years to his life. Tell me God don't talk to the man of God, to the woman of God. Look at Deborah. Look at Ruth. Look at those women. Look what they did. They obeyed God. Not what they heard. They obeyed God. And God is still the supreme. He's still the one that catches us and brings us to a place called there. And I want to just say to you tonight, spending time with you for this time, I want to thank my dearly beloved sister that came on the line with me and had great words of God and had wisdom. And here was God is saying. And I want you to just hang on in there. Don't get off the line yet, because there are a lot of things. One more person is supposed to come on in 2 minutes. And see, when a person doesn't show up, I have to spend the time doing what they're supposed to do, which I don't mind it. I don't mind it because for one whole year, for 20-some years, I've been praying and waiting for one day a radio station would come. And now I sit there looking at the radio station. I said, wow, this is what God has done. It's not about me. It's about God doing it. I'm not begging. I'm not pleading. I'm taking God at his word. When you take God at his word, God will use you. See, some people want some people to run them down. I'm not running nobody down for the gospel. I'm going to run to the gospel that the gospel can overflow to somebody. But you see, there are a lot of people want somebody to say, they want, won't you come and get me to church? Doc, what have you called? Try to get to church first? No. Well, what do you want to do? I have to say some things that I know that I have to know. And I'm going to tell you this. One of the most nicest things that can be said, there is a God that loves us, and that God loves us so until he gave all that he had. He gave it all for us. Can you imagine then one day, some time ago, that Jesus gave his life for us? And you know, some people are still ungrateful. Some people are still ungrateful. Why are they ungrateful? Because they want it done their way. their way. Mm-hmm. It's like the preacher used to say, he said, they gonna, I'll never forget, I've had three preachers I met in my life. They didn't know me. But they always tell me, when I joined their church, he says, you don't go by the word, you do what I said to. And I told him, I said, well, I don't need to be here. And I wasn't there. I left. Because when a preacher takes a good decision that you just going to listen to what he say, ain't no good. Ain't no good medicine. It just don't work. I'm just telling the world right now because that's what this radio station is all about. It's not about trying to pump up or push you up. It's here to tell you nothing but the truth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So, I thank God that once again that we were supposed to be on, there was supposed to be two more people on tonight, but I'll wait and see, and there are many other things that I must do. In closing to my sister, may I call your name?
Yes,
Patty Howard.
Yes.
Patty, Sister Patty Howard, how are you doing?
I'm okay, and you?
Amen. Do you have another word you want to say to me? Do you have something you want to say to the people that are listening to us tonight?
I was listening to what you were saying, and one thing I want to say is, and some of the things that you were saying, now is the time. You know, God, everything has been set in motion for the end times to come. We're living in the end times now. And the devil knows it. So he is very, 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 very busy because he knows he has but a short time left. And as Christians and as ministers, God, as children of God, we must oppose him. The sinner is blinded. They're spiritually blinded according to the word of God. We are spiritually blinded until we give our lives to God, and then God will open up our spiritual eyes. But as long as they're spiritually blinded, as long as the devil can keep them spiritually blinded, they will continue to walk in their own devices and walk in the way that the devil will want them to do. And, you know, sin brings about death. And, you know, my mother used to tell me all the time, her pastor used to tell her, I got to love a person, but I don't have to love their sin. I got to love that person, but I can hate their sin. And I want to say this, God loves each and every one of us. He doesn't care whether we're, you know, where we're sin or not. He loves each and every one of us because he created each and every one of us. But it's our sins that are going to send us to hell. And it's not going to be God because he loves us. But the way the system is set, his order is set up, is sin. Sin brings about death. And God doesn't, he frowns upon sin. Sin separated us from God. God will always love each and every one of us, but it's sin, our sins, that are going to send us to hell. That's why it's very important, like you were giving out the call to come to Jesus. It's very important for each and every one of us to make that choice. You know, it's a choice. A lot of people in the world, they go around, and I hear them say a lot, I hope that I lived my life. We all did it. I hope I lived my life good enough where God, you know, where that one day when I die that the Lord may take me, I may go to heaven. I hope I do that. But I tell people all the time, your life here is a choice. You make choices. You choose where you want to spend eternity. A lot of people think we just die and that's it. No, we are made in the image of God, and God is eternal, and God is spirit. And we are right now, we are living in the time. We're living in the disposition of time. But when we, what we call die in this world, we don't really die. We just transition from time over into eternity. We have another home. We have a home here on earth, and we have a home in eternity. Now we can live in, we can choose to live in our eternity on this earth. We choose on why we're on this earth. We can choose to live eternity doomed and, you know, away from God, or we can choose to live life, eternity life, because the Bible says the wages of sin is death. That death is eternity doomed, living in eternity away from God, apart from God. It's, we call it hell. Heaven and hell. A lot of people don't want you talking about hell. But no, there is a hell. Hell is real. Hell was made for the devil and his angels. But it has enlarged itself because of men. Men chose. Men are choosing to live eternity in hell as opposed to in heaven. And I just want to encourage everybody. It is a choice that while you're on this side of earth, it's a choice that you decide where you want to live eternity, because you are going to live eternally. Whether you don't have to believe it. You know, a lot of people say, I don't believe it. Well, just because you don't believe it don't mean it's not so. It is so, because God loves each and every one of us. He's given us time and time. He hasn't even come back. He's prolonging the time right now to give us time to and time to come in, to give us time to many people to decide to accept Christ and to live for him. When a person, a sinner, accept Christ, they don't realize it, but when they accept Christ, the Bible say the angels in heaven rejoice. That's just how much God loves you. That's just how much the heavenly host loves you. That's just how much love God has for you, that he desires that you will turn from your sinful ways and turn to him and come in fellowship with him. And one of the best things you can do when you come in fellowship with him, God calls you his friend. I love it. I want God to call me his friend. That's something good for him to call you his friend. He called Abraham his friend. You know, that's something. We will be his friend, you know, and it's just awesome. I can't explain it, but some people know, some don't. But it's so awesome to have a relationship with God, to have a trust, a hope that you don't. In this wicked world that we live in now, when I hear young people saying, we don't have no hope. We don't have no hope. Oh, no, there is hope. There is hope. The hope is in Jesus Christ. And that's what wisdom does, godly wisdom does. It gives you a hope, and you are safe, and you're not afraid because you know who your God is. I remember when 911 hit the trans, what was it, the bombing of the Twin Towers, and a lot of people, I heard men, I had men on phones crying. I never heard men, you know, really cry, you know, but they were crying. And one guy was telling me, it's doomsday, it's doomsday. But, you know, they vacated downtown Houston, and I was late. It was, when I left work, I was just me and another guy. We was on the bus. I was in total peace the whole time. Why? Because I know who my Savior is. I have nothing to worry about. You know, it's sad, the tornadoes and everything that's ripping through, but I still have peace. When Allison hit and it flooded my house, I had peace. Everybody running around, oh, blah, blah, I had peace. I was thinking, oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus, I'm going to get me some new furniture. That's what I was saying, but it didn't happen because I just put in a new floor and I was able to clean out everything. And I had minimal damage to my house. But I looked at it like the Lord is going to bless me. I didn't look at it like I had peace. That's all I can tell you. I just had a peace. When what was the one that hit? Ike hit. And then we were out in it. You know, I had peace. It was scary, but I had peace. And that's what you want. You want peace. When everything in this world seems like it's falling apart, there is hope. And that hope is over in Jesus Christ. Now, the devil's never going to give you hope. To me, I always say the devil, he would tell you and he would entice you, but he'd leave you hanging on a string like a light bulb. And he'll leave you falling because the devil hates God's creation. the devil hates man. We didn't do nothing to him. But it's just the idea that God loves us so much. He takes care of us. He protects us. He gives us that he makes sure we have, you know, and the food, shelter, and clothing, that he hates that. He hates the idea that we can come to God and have a fellowship with him, that he gave up. He lost because of his pride, his haughty spirit.
Yeah.
Want him to think he
yeah.
got enough authority over God. And he wants, and you know what, I read in the scripture something about man wanting to, they prefer to worship the creation rather than the creator. And I thought about
yeah.
that, and I said, well, you know, God, that's what the devil did. He tried to worship the creation, which is him, rather than you, God, who created him. He tried to exalt himself. And many times you see people doing a lot of stuff, and they don't, you know, you go to them and talk to God, they go to games, and I'm not knocking all this, but, you know, they go to the games, you see them, they spend more money into games and pleasure and than they do into the ministry of God. And when it comes to the ministry of God, it's like pulling hen's teeth to just get them to give you a little something to, you know, to work to get a project completed in the ministry. But they become lovers of the creation. That, and to me, when I say lovers of the creation, they love the creation more than they do the creator. To me, I see a lot of people that they will serve God as long as God do what they want him to do. And I've heard them say, well, I serve him. He's not doing what I want him to do. But I tell them, you're not here. God didn't create you to serve you. God created you so you can worship him and praise him and obey him. It's not
That's
about,
right.
you know, you serving, God giving you everything you want. It's about you giving God what he wants. You letting God come into your life and work the will, his purpose and his will that he has for you while you're on this earth, because God sees potential in everybody. He sees potential. He knows there's potential in every last one of us. I don't care if you're on drugs out there on the streets. I don't care if you're in the church on your knees at the altar. I don't care where you are. You are valuable to God, and God sees potential in you that you have no desire, no idea that you have. Sometimes we have no idea of the potential we have that God Jesus sees. God sees it. God knows it, and God wants to use each and every one of us for his glory. And, you know, I'm just thankful. I didn't mean to say all that. But I am so thankful, brother, for the radio show.
No,
I wanted to ask you if somebody wanted to by time I talk or get on, you know, have a program on your show, how do they contact you?
They can call me at willyjhunter@yahoo.com. willyjhunter@yahoo.com. And you send me that mail.
Okay, willyjhunter@yahoo.com.
Yes, WILLIE
JHNT@yahoo.com. Okay.
And I can move it on. And I'm glad you made me that, because this is a radio station that we're not here to please our everybody, we're here to please God.
That's
and
right.
It's no thing running. So God has blessed us thus far, and we're watching God move people into the top space. See, we can go all over the world. We have a radio station where they call it Skype. We can call around the world in a time zone and talk to a person right now in Russia, right near in England, and anywhere. We can talk to them by means of that gift that God has given to us. And so I'm very thankful to you what you said, my dear beloved, because that's what's needed. And we go from right now we're in the central time zone, we come on Central Time Zone right in the middle in Texas, and we get people from all over, from the starting from the, right now, and there's 9:15 in the East Coast, and right now it's 9:15. Yeah, 9:15 in Georgia and around. And as we cross over, each time gets a little different. And see, out in California right now, there's 4 hour difference.
Yeah.
So it's 8 o'clock. So it's what time there? So it's 4 hour difference. But it behooves us, and I want to thank you for making mention that. Also, I want you to go to our website. Our website is kaskmeddie. And I want you to go on there and peruse it, take a look at what we have, and if you decide you want to be a part of what we're doing, you can send us that too. Send me an email, and we'll get you set up on time. Because what we're gonna do, the person who set up the slot, the website, is a man of God. What he done? Because nobody with God had me do what he did, and I thank God it's being done. It costs a nickel and a dime, it costs a penny and much. But I want you to know something. God has a soul available to the believers. But because there are people who say they believe, but they don't believe nothing for themselves. I believe for the kingdom of God. I believe what I'm just watching God do many, many things. I'm watching God have me to pray with people that I don't know. Things are happening to them. It ain't about me. It's about God moving in this hour. Now, Sister Howard said, it's God moving. And a lot of people want to play a game with you. But we're living in the last day of time.
Yes,
and it's very important. I was there during the time when they had gasoline rise. If you didn't have money in your pocket to get some gas, you couldn't move. I was here. I watched it. I said, I ain't got no money for no gas. And what little money I had to splurge it to make it happen. You knew where you had to go with his guards. See, the enemy came in and said, well, if you want to serve him, I'm going to make you hate him. See, the devil do everything he can because he hates what God is doing for us. And that's why I tell people, get a time to read the word of God. Go to Deuteronomy 8:22, and you see what God says. It is I, God, who gave you the power to get wealth.
Wealth.
Money. Amen?
Amen.
And when God gives us the power to get wealth, he gives it to us that we, inclusive, might bring his covenant in the earth realm. And so the more we trust God, the more God is going to trust us. See, and I say this, see, with love and kindness, God is available for us.
Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen. I mean, if you want to come on sing it for 30 minutes, hey, that's your time. The same is the same. But once you sing that, I'll let you know what we have because I'm still having it develop right now. But if you decide you want to come on, you want to sing, you want to do a play or whatever it is you have, we're here for you. And I want to let you know this night, the statement that I made, we will rise to take that mountain. When the lookers look, they will say, the last time seen, they were headed to the top. The top of what? To the top of Mount. And that's where God will have us to be. To looking unto him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And may I say this, Sister Howard?
Yes.
One of the things I say, I thank God for the attitude that you have. I thank God for the veracity that you have. I thank you for the pleasantry of you have. I thank you that God has blessed you as a woman who's a woman of choice, a woman who can stand through hard times, rough times, and can look unto Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. My prayer is, that God will make you another woman like you to just be what they're supposed to be. I pray that God will have husbands for a lot of women like you, because it's hard to have men who will stand with their husband today. And I've talked to a lot of men. I said, why you leave? Well, man, she wasn't doing nothing. Wasn't doing nothing? What do you mean wasn't doing nothing? No. See, I know what it is now. I don't talk with myself because I almost got caught up in the same thing.
Yes, sir.
I keep my eyes set on Jesus Christ. Because
yes,
if your eyes are set on Jesus Christ, I don't care what whatever do come by. You ain't got to snort at them. But I'm telling you, men, Satan desires to destroy you like wheat. Jesus did it. But he said, I have prayed for you. And I'm saying to the men who are out there listening, if you have left your wives, go home. I've been here for 40-plus years. It ain't been easy. I ain't made it easy, but I've done my best to make it better. And I will say this to you that listen, I ain't looking for no woman. I got one. I ain't looking for no money. Got a little nigga, little diamond. I'm looking for one thing, salvation.
Salvation.
Salvation. That's all I'm looking for. The more that I come in agreement with God, I can reach the lesson that Paul said, all things are lawful, but not expedient.
Mm-hmm.
All things are lawful. Sometimes it's not right to say the thing which you need to say. I have to watch every word I say. I have to be careful because, and I say this to you men, boy, I guess, okay, Lord. I say this to every one of you men. You want to make her look good, you need to give her some money. Go get some fine clothes on, fine shoes, and toenails. You know how women like to look good. You know how women like to brag at each other. Child, that's what he did for me. No, girl, this, I know I done heard my wife brag. I want to put some more money in the pocket than what she wants. Miss, you going to do that? Yeah, that's my woman. That's M-I-N-E, that's fine.
That's yours, that's right.
That's mine. And I always tell my wife, sir, and my wife said, you need to do this. And my wife is a stickler, I call it. She said, you ought to get this right and that right. And I said, okay. And I watched myself, okay, do this and do that. But it's here to say, after 40-plus years, where am I going now? Where is she going now? I don't think it's nowhere to go. Why is there nowhere to go? Because God has ordained us. He has ordained us to be in the company because we are helpmeets. Most men don't want to see. Men think once they get past 60 years old, he's no good. I'm here to tell you, I'm past 60, and I'm as like I am when I was a young boy. But I'm at one woman. One woman. I try my best to get her. She wants something, I try to do my best to get it because I'm the head and not the tail. I know if I love, she's going to take care of me. I know that. I'm not worried about it. She ain't going to see it my way because that thing's different. And it caused me, yeah, Lord, it caused me to learn this too. And the old lady said, well, you know what women do, they think with two brains. Men only got one. Heard that old lady say that almost 6-7 years ago, and that still puzzled me. Now I understand. Hello out there, brother. No, y'all are listening. This is some good meat, good medicine. Because a woman thinks out of both sides of her brain. And when she thinks with both sides, she can understand it fast and clearer. And I know my wife told me one day, I'm sitting there, just sitting there in church, and I could hear her voice talking to me. I looked around, I said, what? And she kind of pinched, you know, how you doing that? She hunched me. And I could hear her saying, keep your eyes on that man. He means you no good. And I said, what? To myself. And you know what? She wasn't lying. A woman can help you to save your life.
Yes.
But you got to know your wife. You got to know what you're married to. Everything out there don't belong to you. One at a time, the one you got. be it God's desire that one of us should come to be with him. Pray God it'll be that one day when it's all done and said, that Jesus Christ, but there are men, and I have to say this to men, men don't do what they're supposed to do. They're the biggest liars. Y'all finish, what did you left with now? I'm going to you like George Foreman. So which one did you want to fall down with? You want the right one or the left one? You have to make a choice. So if you want the right one, that's quick. If you want the left one, it's going to punish you. So if you want to love your woman, you got to love her in spite of all. You got to support her. Support her, yeah. Don't get a car because you want a car. Get a car because she wants a car. It might be the convenience of her doing what she's doing. And you know what I found out? People tell me, say, every time they look up, man, you buying your wife a new car. Your mother's selling drugs. I said, these jackals don't know that I got two jobs I'm working to do what I'm doing because I want my wife to look wonderful and beautiful. I learned it early. Sometimes it may not be standard, but the more you enjoy life, the more you don't mind offering up for free. And God loves us. He allows us. And when we say, and see, God loves, I'm telling you, I know what I know. I know that God loves a righteous-hearted person. I will not forsake you nor leave you alone. I'll be there. But it don't look like I'm going to make it. Yeah, it don't look like I'm going to make it, but I know God said, look unto the Lord who is the Bible says in Psalm 121, it says, I will lift my eyes unto the hill, and whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made the heavens and the earth. He will not suffer my foot to be moved, nor will he cause my foot to be step aside. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber or sleep. So why should I worry about a lot of things? Well, we never will have a word. No. God loves us. And a lot of times, see, a lot of these different churches, they got more crooks at some of these churches. They got the fivefold ministry. Some of them not in the fivefold ministry. Some of them not teaching what they're supposed to teach, the Word of God. Some of them are doing what they want to do, and that's that. You go to some churches, they got some people, they don't believe in baptism anymore. They don't believe in water baptism. They don't believe in the Lord's table. They don't believe in none of the things that God has said we should not forsake. And we just forgotten it. See, a lot of people have forgotten it. I haven't forgotten it. Where you going to come to our church? No. Why? Well, I'm going to tell you why I won't come to your church. Because the way God got me walking, some of you I can't walk with. I know it. I'm full of the Holy Ghost. I believe in laying hands on those. I believe what the Bible says. These signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out. Amen. I believe it. I've seen it happen. So some people that's going to be in a secular setting, I can't help you there because you're going to fight me tooth and nail. But God will have me to move on up. And all you can see what God is doing. When people are sick, they want you to... See, I know there's a lot of people want somebody to pray for them. They want to call and say, well, so-and-so, yeah. They praying for, can I get so-and-so to pray for me? Well, did you pray for yourself? Have you prayed for yourself? That's the number one question. Have you prayed for yourself? I never thought of it like this. But I heard the lady sing that song, pray for me, and I'm going to pray for you. And I will say this to those who study listen. I hope and pray that one more lady is supposed to come on. If not, I'm going to turn it over to give another 5 minutes to see. But I want to say this to you tonight, Sister Howard. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you, may he cause his love and mercy to be upon you. May God call the money to flow down like rain dropping in your lap. May God call his mercy to be upon you. May God call those things that he have desired upon those who believe, and you are believers. May God continue to bless you and give you strength, give you the grace that you need in this hour. May God continue to be who he says is going to be towards you. Well, he said, I am that I am, and beside me there is none other. And I believe that God is still God, and I believe that we shall rise and we shall see him once again. I can say that with assurance that God is coming. Amen.
To tell people, I promise you he's coming. I promise you he's coming. Okay, I thank you, Dr. Hahn. I thank you so much, and I receive your prayers. And the most important thing to Jesus Christ and all that we do is to go out there. The key to everything, that all the ministries that are out there, I want to say to all the ministries that are out there, our key purpose is to go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his last command to us when he was leaving earth. Go and preach my word, starting with Judea, all the way to Samaria, even to the ends of the earth. So our key purpose in any ministry we do is to bring people to Jesus Christ, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the most important thing in our lives, whatever we do, we want God to get all the glory and God to be glorified. And I'm going to leave you with that, and I'm getting ready to get off the air. But I'll talk to you later. Okay.
All right,
I'll talk to you later. Love you. Bye-bye.
Okay. Love you. Bye-bye. All right, let me put that on. There we go.
D63H03, Healing Scriptures.
From Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20, 21, and 22. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. In the margin of my King James translation, it reads, my words are medicine to all their flesh. So God's word is medicine to all our flesh. So therefore, I just want to read from the word of God and give you God's medicine. First of all, from Matthew, the 6th chapter, the 9th through the 10th verse. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Healing is God's will. There is no sickness in heaven, the Bible said, so it's God's will that there be no sickness on earth. Then 3 John, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. Then again, 1 John, the 5th chapter, the 14th and 15th verses. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of him. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees. Make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. And then Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? James 1:17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Romans 8:31. If God be for us, who can be against us? Malachi 3:6. For I am the Lord, I change not. Isaiah 41:10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Deuteronomy 7:15. And the Lord will take away from thee all sickness, and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee. Exodus 15:26. If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none or permit none of these diseases upon thee, which I have permitted upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jeremiah 30:17. For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord. Jeremiah 33:6. Behold, I will bring it health and cure, and I will cure them, and will reveal unto them the abundance of peace and truth. Deuteronomy 30:19-20. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. Leviticus 26:3, and then the 9th verse. If ye walk in my statutes, and keep my commandments, and do them, I will have respect unto you, and make you fruitful, and multiply you, and establish my covenant with you. Isaiah 58:8. Then shall thy life break forth as the morning, and thy health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Genesis 20:17. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children. 2 Chronicles 30:20. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. 2 Kings 20:5. Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears, behold, I will heal thee. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? 2 Chronicles 6:14. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven nor in the earth, which keepeth covenant and showeth mercy unto thy servants that walk before thee with all their hearts. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Psalm 145:8-9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Job 37:23. Touching the Almighty, he is excellent in power and in judgment and in plenty of justice. He will not afflict. Psalm 67:2. That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving help among all nations. Psalm 105:37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold, and there was not one feeble person among their tribes. Psalm 103:3. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Psalm 147:3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Psalm 23:1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 30:2. O Lord my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. Psalm 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered him out of them all. Psalm 41:3, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Psalm 42:11, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Matthew 7:11, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Then Isaiah shows us that healing is in the plan of redemption. Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, or the margin reads, surely he has borne our pains and carried our sicknesses. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Matthew 8:17. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. 1 Peter 2:24. He his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Galatians 3:13, verse 14, and then verse 29. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Then Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, 13, and 14. And then chapter 2, verses 10 and 15. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or able, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made the show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Ephesians 5:30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 13, verse 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plague. O grave, I will be thy destruction. In Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 12th verse, we read, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Deuteronomy 5:33, ye shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God hath commanded you, that you may live, and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which ye shall possess. Deuteronomy 11:21, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware to your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 28. And he, David, died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honor. Job 5, 26. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in his season. Psalm 90, 10. The days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years. The 91st Psalm, verses 10 through 16. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all of thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shall thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. My son, forget not thy law, but let thine heart keep thy commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 11. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 19. Thou shalt not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And so you see, God has promised us long life, and he wants us to have long life. Now then, let's look at some scriptures concerning the earth walk of Jesus and his ministry. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Matthew the 8th chapter, the 2nd and 3rd verse. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 10, and then verse 13. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servants, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled, and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. Matthew chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Matthew chapter 9, verses 20, 21, and 22. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 36. And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. And Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. But they, when they were departed, spread abroad his fame in all that country. As they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And when the devil was cast out, the dumb spake. And the multitude marveled, saying, it was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, He casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Matthew chapter 12, verse 15. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion towards them, and he healed their sick. Matthew chapter 14, verses 34 through 36. And when they were gone over, they came unto the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place acknowledged of him, they sent out to all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Matthew chapter 15, verse 29 through 31. And Jesus departed thence and came nigh to the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. And great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them. Insomuch that the multitude wondered, and when they saw the dumb to speak, the maimed to be whole, the lame to walk, and the blind to see, and they glorified the God of Israel. Then Mark chapter 5, verse 1 through 43. And they came over to the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had been dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there, nigh unto the mountains, a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw him told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish it in Decapolis, how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come, and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing but it, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garments, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith has made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. While he yet spake, there came from the rulers of the synagogue house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother of James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and seeth the tumult, and them that wept, and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he saith unto them, why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and mother of the damsel, and them that were with him, and entered in where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand, and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years. And they were astonished with great astonishment. And he charged them straightly that no man should know it, and commanded that something should be given her to eat. Then mark the 6th chapter, verse 53 through 56. And when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. When they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him, and ran through the whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered into villages, or cities, or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. Then mark the 7th chapter, verse 25 through 37. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But when Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. Then she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And again, departing from the coast of Tyre and Sidon, he came unto the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coast of the Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers in his ears. And he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be open. And straightway his ears were open, and the string of his tongue was loose, and he spake plain, and he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more the great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, he hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Then in Mark the 9th chapter, the 17th through the 29th verse, and one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. and oftentimes it has cast him into the fire, into the waters, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thy dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, inasmuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Then in Luke chapter 4, verses 16 through 21, and he cometh to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Then Luke, the 4th chapter, verses 33 through 36, and then the 40th verse and the 41st verse. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee? Thou Jesus of Nazareth, art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him, and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? For with authority and power he commanded the unclean spirits, and to come out. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them, and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out, and saying, thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuked them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew he was Christ. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 6 through 10, and it came to pass also on another Sabbath, that he entered into the synagogue and taught. And there was a man whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and Pharisees watched him, whether he would heal on the Sabbath day, that they might find an accusation against him. But he knew their thoughts, and said to the man which had the withered hand, rise up, and stand forth in the midst. And he arose, and stood forth. Then said Jesus unto them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it? And looking round about upon them all, he said unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he did so. And his hand was restored whole as the other. Then in Luke, the 6th chapter, the 17th through the 19th verse. And he came down with them and stood in the plain, and the company of his disciples, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem, and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. Then in Luke the 13th chapter, verses 11 through 17. And behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, and was bowed together, and could in no wise lift up herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her to him, and said unto her, woman, thou art loosed from thine infirmity. And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, glorified God. And the ruler of the synagogue answered with indignation, because that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath day, and said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. In them therefore come and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day. The Lord then answered him and said, thou hypocrite, Does not each one of you on the Sabbath day loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to water him? And art not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, lo, these 18 years, be loose from this bond on the Sabbath day? And when he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed, and all the people rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. Then in John's Gospel, the 5th chapter, we shall read verses 2 through 14. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having 5 porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity of 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that it had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day. It is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterwards, Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come up unto thee. Then in John the 9th chapter, we shall read verses 1 through 7. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither has this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is yet day. The night cometh, when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Then in John chapter 10, verse 10, The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundant. Acts chapter 10, verse 38, How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Then again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, the 1st verse. When he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Mark, the 16th chapter, verses 15 through 20. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. John, the 14th chapter, verses 12 through 15. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Acts the 6th chapter and the 8th verse. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Acts chapter 8, verses 6 and 7. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. For unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of many that were possessed with them, and many taken with palsies, and that were lame, were healed. Acts chapter 9, verses 33 and 34. And there he found a certain man named Amos, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Amos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Acts chapter 14, verses 8 through 10. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, Stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. Acts chapter 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. James chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. Is any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, it shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Then Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, as in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things or beings in heaven, and things are beings in earth, and things are beings under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 through 23. Here Paul says, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this world, but also of that which is to come. And it put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Then in John, the 16th chapter, verses 23 and 24, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Again, Mark the 16th chapter, the 15th through the 18th verses. And he said to them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Notice, in my name they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. John Gospel, the 14th chapter, verses 13 and 14. And whatsoever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If he shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, Acts the 3rd chapter, verses 1 through 16. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they made daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. Immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaped up and stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were all filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power, our holiness, we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murder to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name. Now notice that. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Acts chapter 4, verse 1. As they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes, and Annas the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together to him. And when they set them in the midst, they asked, By what power, or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and the elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the invoke of man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you holy. This is the stone which was set in all of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against him. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten that they speak henceforth no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported off as the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Then Matthew 18:19. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. Mark chapter 11, verses 22-26. And Jesus answering saith unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things ever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also which is in heaven may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father which is in heaven forgive your trespasses. Romans chapter 4, verse 17, and then verses 19-21. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. So then faith cometh, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Then 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth Jesus is the Son of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Romans 8, 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Romans 8, 11. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both the will and to do his good pleasure. James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Romans 6:14. For sin, or Satan, shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Then Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 8:16. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. John chapter 1, verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 15:7. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Psalm 107:20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Isaiah 55:11. So shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Hebrews 4:14, 15, and 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession, or the margin reads, let us hold fast our confession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession, or again the margin reads, the confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Hebrews 10:35-36. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. Philemon 1:6. That the communication of thy mouth may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Revelation 12:11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Joel 3:10. Let the weak say, I am strong. I want to read Deuteronomy 28, reading the entire chapter, and then Galatians 3, also reading the entire chapter. Deuteronomy 28, beginning with verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be thou when thou comest in. Blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord will cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses and in all that thou settest thine hand unto. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee an holy people unto himself, as he is sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God and walk in his ways. And all people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, and in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. Thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. The Lord shall make thee the head and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. If that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command this day to observe and to do them, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, or to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee over and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly, because of the wickedness of thy doings whereby thou hast forsaken me. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with a sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue thee until thou perish. And thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder and dust. From heaven shall it come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. It shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. And thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air and unto the beasts of the earth. And no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the bots of Egypt, and with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. And thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in darkness. Thou shalt not prosper in thy ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build a house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shall not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no night or no might in thy hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labors shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed always, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore spot that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot unto the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out on the field, shall gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor eat the grape, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coast, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees and the fruit of thy land shall the locusts consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed. Because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign and for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness, and with gladness of heart, for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from afar, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce counters, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle, and the fruit of thy land, until thou be destroyed. Which also shall not leave thee either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of thy kind or flocks of thy sheep, until he have destroyed thee. And he shall besiege thee at all thy gates, until thy high and fenced walls come down, wherein thou trustest throughout all thy land. And he shall besiege thee in all thy gates throughout all thy land, which the Lord thy God hath given thee. Thou shalt eat the fruit of thine own body, the flesh of thy sons and of thy daughters, which the Lord thy God hath given thee, in the seeds, and in the straightness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee, so that the man that is tender among you, and very delicate, his eyes shall be evil towards his brother, towards the wife of his bosom, and towards the remnant of his children which he shall leave, so that he shall not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he had nothing left him in the seeds, and in the straightness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in all thy gates. the tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness. Her eye shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom, toward her son, and toward her daughter, and toward her young one that cometh out from between her feet, and toward her children, which she shall bear. For she shall eat them for want of all things secretly in the seeds and straightness, wherewith thine enemy shall distress thee in thy gates. If thou wilt not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that thou mayest fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God, then the Lord will make thy plagues wonderful, and the plagues of thy seed even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuance. Moreover, he will bring upon thee all the diseases of Egypt, which thou wast afraid of, and they shall cleave unto thee. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon thee until thou be destroyed. And ye shall be left few in number, whereas ye were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because thou wouldest not obey the voice of the Lord thy God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and ye shall be plucked from off the land where thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall scatter thee among all people from one end of the earth even to the other, and there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. The Lord shall give thee a trembling heart, and fading of eyes, and sorrow of mind. And thy life shall hang in doubt before thee, and thou shalt fear day and night. And thou shalt have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, would God it were evening. And at evening thou shalt say, would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart wherewith thou shalt fear, for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. The Lord shall bring thee into Egypt again with ships, by the way whereof I spake unto thee. Thou shalt see it no more again, and ye shall be sold unto your enemies for bondsmen and bondwomen, and no man shall buy thee. Now then I want to read from Galatians chapter 3, beginning with the first verse and reading the whole chapter. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched ye that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not unto seeds, as of many, but as of one, and of thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore, then, serveth the law, it was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come, to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promise of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law, gift which could have given life. Verily, righteousness should have been by the law. But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. Now, I want you to notice that according to these scriptures, and specifically Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, also every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, then will the Lord bring or permit to be brought upon thee until thou be destroyed. Now, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law. There are a number of diseases that are listed here. But then he also adds every sickness. So therefore, you can say, my sickness, whatever it is, cancer, tuberculosis, anemic, mental distress, whatever your sickness is, according to Deuteronomy 28:61, my sickness is a curse of the law. Now notice Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now here's what I want you to confess. I want you to say it over and over and over again to yourself. Say it out loud if you're by yourself. Say it quietly to yourself if someone else is with you. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, now name your sickness, cancer, tuberculosis, kidney trouble, liver trouble, whatever it is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from sickness, and specify your sickness. In other words, I'll give you an illustration. We'll just call it cancer. According to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 61, my sickness, cancer, is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, he's redeemed me from the curse of sickness. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from cancer. All right, we'll just say your trouble is a stomach ulcer. All right, say this then. My sickness or ulcer, stomach ulcer, is a curse of the law, according to Deuteronomy 28:61. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from ulcers of the stomach. Now, say, for instance, your condition is a blood disease. You see, according to Deuteronomy 28, chapter 61st verse, my blood disease is a curse of the law. But according to Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I confess, I am redeemed from blood disease. I just gave that to you as an illustration. Whatever your sickness is, call it a curse of the law. Confess it's a curse of the law. Then confess Galatians 3:13, Christ has redeemed me from the curse of the law. Therefore, I am redeemed from sickness, and specify your sickness. Now, I want you to do that. I want you to listen to these two chapters, Galatians 3, Deuteronomy 28, over and over again. And then at every waking moment, all night long, all day long, continue to make the confession. Therefore, I am redeemed from, and specify your sickness.
That concludes this message. For more information about Kenneth Hagin Ministries, call 1-888-283-2484 or visit our website at www.rhema.org, or write to Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 50126, Tulsa, Oklahoma, 74150-0126. And in Canada, write Kenneth Hagin Ministries, Post Office Box 335, Station B, Etobicoke, Toronto, Ontario, Canada, M9A4F3.
Can you stretch that with your head forward, Chuck? was all the way out in Mount Jordan. That's so important.
Brandon.